Alex Wachowski reporting for FFA Today, sitting with Bob Goff. He's the keynote speaker for the first session of the 92nd National FFA Convention and Expo. Bob, you have a whole lot of titles, lawyer, professor, author, but you're just Bob. Tell us about you.
Yeah, just plain Bob. That was the name my parents picked for me, and it kind of stuck. And so I think the overriding idea, and for these people that will be coming in here in leadership, is you're not your titles, you're not your accomplishments, and you're not your failures. You're just you. So what we're trying to do is kind of pick the lock and figure out who's the most current version of you and figure out what do you want. And then to kind of drill down on that. I remember in high school, I just wanted a date. Never got one until Paula came along and she said we could go to the prom together. I kind of asked her, I think. And then 2 days before the prom, she said she didn't want to go with me. I was devastated. I'd only gone on one. Well, I hadn't even gone on one date. I had the possibility of going on one date. And I was so bummed out. We had a 30-year high school reunion. And this woman that looked vaguely familiar came up to me. And she said, I'm Paula. I'm like, Paula, wow. And she said, are you okay? I'm like, dude, like about what? She's like, oh, you mean about the whole prom thing? Oh, like, I've so moved on, and you should too. And so one of the things, she moved on before the prom, but one of the things that we need to do is just get current with who we are, not get wrapped around the axle with who we used to be. And if we could just be current, if we go do the work that we need to do to understand who we are and what we want, that's leadership. So I think there's going to be an arena full of people that are ready to lead and hopefully ready to go a little bit deeper in their own life and figure out why they're doing what they're doing.
Explain to us how you figure that out.
Well, you know what it takes is a moment that you're not distracted. I think Satan came up with iPhones. He's like, this will screw everybody up, right? It'll be the first time an Apple did us in. But one of the things that will happen is if we lead undistracted lives, then you'll know you'll have a little bit of margin to figure out why you're doing what you're doing. If you're constantly distracted by either screening or movies or whatever, those are all terrific things. But if it distracts you away from figuring out who you are, it's not helping you out in your leadership. You're killing time, which is fine. There's sometimes it just fetch. But it's not most of the time. And so I'm just anticipating there'll be an arena full of people that want to go a little deeper. They want to go deeper with their friends. They want to get deeper, perhaps, with their faith. They want to go deeper in leadership. They want to take their rightful place as leaders and start acting like it. And you can do that by just not being distracted.
And we talked about, before we got recording, the importance of indulging in your faith and whatever that is. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody has different things that they've grown up in. And so some grew up in a one faith tradition. Somebody grew up in another faith tradition. Somebody didn't grow up in a faith tradition at all. That was me. Like in high school, I found a Bible in the back of a bus. It said it was a good book. I'm like, I could use a good book. Then I read it. I'm like, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Same story. I'm like, average book at best. But I didn't know anything about this. And then I got to the story of the 10 leapers. I didn't know they were lepers. Like, why are they leaping? And but that kind of made me with a more tender spot for people who just haven't been exposed to ideas of faith. And for others that have, I hope that that could be like kind of renewed. It could feel really fresh again. It's like kind of like if you're listening the first time, if you like somebody a lot and you touch knees on purpose the first time, like now you're a thing, right? And I think if you could just kind of find your way back to your first love, you could find your way back to whether it was faith or friends or whatever it is. And what I think our goal isn't to tell people what they want, but to tell them who they are.
And through a multitude of experiences, you've been able to kind of craft this message. But let's talk about some of those experiences that you have. I mean, you've done so many things. So tell us about that.
Well, I was a lawyer for decades. And then I started spending time with these kids in these countries that were in the middle of civil wars. And it just wrecked my career because all I wanted to do is spend time with these kids in these other countries. So eventually I walked into this law firm that I had on a couple floors of a bank building in Seattle, and I got everybody together and I quit. I just said, I'm out. I took the key off my ring. I gave it to a guy that had been working for me for a decade. I said, it's all yours, man. And you don't owe me anything. Now, that's a stupid economic decision, but it's an awesome new creation decision. And so ever since then, I've been just spending all my time building schools. So every time I want to build a school, I write a book. So I wrote Love Does, and they sold a couple million of those. And then I wrote another book called Everybody Always, and then there's another book after that. So every time I want to, like, fundraise, if I made cupcakes, people would die. But if I have a couple typos, no big deal. So that's it. So our first school was in Gulu, Uganda. They were in the middle of a 25-year civil war that was going on. And that started with 8 kids. But now there's, I think, 1,300 kids. We also have a school in the prisons there. And we teach prisoners how to read and write. We also, witchcraft is a really big thing in Uganda. And so we have a witch doctor school. We don't teach them how to be witch doctors. They already know. We teach them how to read and write. And the only books they have in witch doctor school is the Bible and Love Does. You're reading their textbook. But there's something actually beautiful, because I see these people that are pretty creepy. I mean, they don't have 9 teeth among all of them. But what I'm doing is I'm seeing who they're becoming. And they're already leaders in their community. It's just everybody's scared of them. And so I just don't want us to have leadership that scares people into stuff. I don't want to be a person that tries to talk people into things. We get, on average, 5,000 advertisements per person per day. Is that crazy? Yeah, and so where I'm a Jesus guy, and so I don't want to be the 5,001th ad for Jesus. Like, you know, you need dish soap, you need Cancun, and you need Jesus. So I think there's the big idea is to show people what you believe, don't tell people.
You were talking earlier, too, about basically having the courage to quit. What is the importance of that?
Well, you know what? We end up being hoarders a little bit. We have experiences, we have things that we do, we have some confidence in it, whether it's playing football or a sport, or you have a day job doing something. And then you actually add so much stuff to your life that you can't navigate your life anymore. And so what I decided to do is start quitting things every Thursday. So every single Thursday, I quit one thing. Isn't that awesome? You can quit your job, you can quit being sore at somebody, whatever it is, but just figure one thing. It's just been a beautiful practice of offloading things. Sometimes the reason we don't quit things is we're thinking about how will I explain it to a friend, a loved one, a parent, whatever. So by quitting things on Thursday, I just took that off the board. Just like it's Thursday. Nobody will take my calls on Thursdays. So I'm usually like, I quit. I'm out. Yeah, and it's really been kind of lightening the load.
I love that. A majority of this audience is going to be high schoolers, some junior hires, who don't really have an idea of where they want to go or what they want to do. Does your message change any to relate to them?
You know what? Where you go, what you do, I think God's indifferent about that. I think he wants you to be his, and he wants him to be yours wherever you go. So you might as well go to Maui then. Right? I'm just saying. But I think it's less of career and more about character. Like, who do you want to be when you arrive, wherever you arrive? If it's South Dakota or Maui, like, tell me about the person that you want to be. And so that's what we'll spend more time talking about. Because somebody will say, you know, here's your career. But if it turns out that you're either, you can be really good at, like, if you're a sword swallower, you know, that's an awesome career until you get the hiccups. Then not so much, right? So I don't want to have our leadership driven by what we do. I'd rather have it be a byproduct of who we are. So I want this to be an expression of the current version of Bob. So the current version of Bob, I'm going to spend time talking to people like this. Because the next version of Bob, he's just going to be a grandpa. This is me hanging out at home. I'm taking a hot air balloon flying lessons. Isn't that awesome? I'm two lessons away from having my license. The thing about hot air balloons, you never know where they're going to land. So I'm just trying to be nice with everybody because you don't know if you're going to end up in their backyard someday. And I would just rather land there and just say like, oh, it's that happy guy. So it isn't that I don't deal with difficult issues. I tried death penalty cases against witch doctors that sacrificed children. Now that is pretty creepy, heavy stuff. But I have an overarching belief and understanding about my role in just encouraging people. So I'm really big on justice because God loves kids. He doesn't seem to like lawyers much. He's nuts about kids. And to say, well, we can get some skin in that game because I'm not afraid of these guys. They're punks, right? I just have this worldview that, like, Jesus has all the power and nothing left for these guys. So instead of signing a petition, and that's fine, just go try one case and you tell 42 million people, you touch a kid, it's over.
That you kind of led into what I wanted to ask you. Tell me about a moment when you felt like you just hit rock bottom but used your character to build that up.
Oh, wow. You know, maybe it's just tenacity. One of the victims of this particular witch doctor that was the leader of all the witch doctors in Uganda, he survived this attack, but he was in really rugged shape. And so he had no parents. So I went to court and became his legal guardian, which is crazy. And then we flew back to Los Angeles to have him get the medical attention he needed. Every one of my kids gets a 10-year-old adventure with dad. They get to spin the globe wherever they want to go when they're 10. And so this little boy turned 10. I said, buddy, where do you want to go? And he said, Kilimanjaro. I'm like, no. There's a reason the name Kill is in Manjaro. But we went. And we hiked to the top of that thing. And that was like a really, for a high point, it was a low point. Because it was hard. That thing's like 19,000 feet, I think. I mean, it's crazy. And I was wheezing, you know, 4 feet into the trip. But there's something about tenacity. And I hope that we will be people of character that know what they want. They know why they want it, and they're willing to do what it takes to get what they want. And so that's what we'll talk about tonight.
Very good. As we round out this conversation, is there anything else that you wanted to add or want people to know about you?
Not a thing. I think I just want to be a person that would give people encouragement that there's somebody available. If you want to call day or night, I'm not looking for new best friends. I just see the power of availability. You don't have to be smartest person, the wealthiest person. Just be the most available person. You know how often my phone rings. We've hung out for 10 minutes. That's 24 hours a day, like literally. But there's something really beautiful about that, isn't it? You just get to be available. You don't have an answer because most people aren't looking for an answer. They're just looking for a cool cup of water. They're on their jog. So thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. Bob Goff, he will be the keynote speaker for the 92nd National FFA Convention and Expo. Reporting for FFA Today, I'm Alex Wojcicki.